Okay, Avram Avinu and Sarah Imenu probably have an ideal relationship. You would say, like, if you would say, what's the paradigm of a Jewish mishpacha? I think Avram and Sarah definitely need to fit the bill. And it's very interesting what happens at the onset between the two parties. Because Baruch has private conversations with Avram and Sarah. It says in Pasuk, she points out, how could it be, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu informs her that she's going to have a child, she laughs and she says, how could it be, I'm old, V'adoni Zaken, and Avram, my husband, is old. In the next pasuk it says, V'yomer Hashem el Avraham, Lama Zatzah, Tzachach Tzachar Leimor, Ha'af Umnam Eled V'ani Zakanti, how could I have a child, V'ani, Hashem is quoting Sarah to Avram, so the Ani is referencing Sarah Zakanti. I'm old. HaKadosh Baruch Hu leaves out. HaKadosh Baruch Hu leaves out a very, very important detail, namely that Avraham is old. And right away, Rashi there quotes the Gemara in Yevamos, which we're going to discuss. And Rashi says, Ani Zakanti Shana Kastav Mendei HaShalom. He's allowed to lie because of peace, Shahyamra. So she said, V'adini Zakin, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu left it out. A couple of things that you have to notice is, first of all, Shana doesn't say she lied. It says that it was like a change. Really, to understand this, what this pasuk is, and this whole first song, you really have to know this Gemara in Yevamos. Because this Gemara in Yevamos, you have to really look at it line by line. It was a shiur that I heard many, many moons ago from my friend that made me think about this. I have a piece of paper, which I think I wrote in 1998. If you look at this piece of paper, another piece of paper on the original time I gave a similar shiur, not this exact shiur. Look at this, I hear the stuff on the back.
You can hear this
song. What's that? Brother Frank? Where? What's he coming from? Oh, really? I get the number. 5 in the 5 feet. Okay. Well, good thing to know. Maybe I have to walk 10 years over our theaters to it. Maybe I'll continue. Okay, anyway. Anyway, really, we have to understand. What's going on here? What's this Gemara in Yevamos? There's a beautiful Gemara in Yevamos that says the following. Number one, pay attention to the words. Every word of this Gemara is crucial. A person is permissible to lie because of peace. Shenema, because it says in Pasuk, Avicha Siva. Our father has commanded, Kotamu Liyosef Anasana. Referencing the story that after Yaakov Avinu dies, the brother said to Yosef, Yosef, Yaakov, our father, commanded you not to hurt us afterwards. Don't kill us. Clearly the brothers are scared. Why were they scared? So by Sachs, a beautiful spin on the story, he says, you know, in ancient times, the brothers would never settle scores or sibling rivalries until their parents would pass away. That's why Esau said, I can't wait for my father dies so I can kill my brother. But similarly here. So the brothers were scared. They thought that Yosef didn't kill him because what was the first question that came out of Yosef's mouth? After he introduced the brothers and sisters, I'm Yosef, is my father still alive? So they thought, my father's still alive, won't kill us, okay. And they thought the whole thing was, you know, whole. They were a little nervous. Again, I don't know if they 100% but they thought that this was a possibility. So the brothers preempted the strife by Yosef by telling something that never happened, by saying, our father commanded you not to hurt us. Yosef wept, thinking, oh my gosh, how can it be that my brothers think this way about me? But that's number one. There's a Gemara that says, Mutzil Allah. The Gemara then continues and says, Rabbi Nosson Omer, Mitzvah. It's a positive commandment. Shene'emar, Vayomer, Shmuel.
I think that's what it records in Avram earlier, you know?
It's because you'll see, there's different, I don't even know, this is not the source, this is an example of, but one place is Mutzil, this place is going to say Mitzvah, it's going to say something else, Avram Avinu. You have to pay careful attention, it's telling. Right, not that I'm a mitzvah, should never yom shmuel echelech. How should I go? B'sham shal v'hargim. How could I go? What Shmuel was nervous about was how could he go and anoint David and make David the king if he's going to see me? So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, "That's okay. It's a mitzvah. You could lie. You could tell that. Just tell him that you're on your way to bring in a korban." It's a little bit of an untruth because yeah, he's going to bring a korban, but he wasn't necessarily on his way to. That wasn't his real goal. So they're mitzvah. So there, HaKadosh Baruch was telling Shmuel, that seems to be a nice rise. Finally, The last word, Rabbi Shmuel, Tana Gadol HaShalom. Rabbi Shmuel says, greatness is peace. Gadol HaShalom. Sh'af HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shinebo. Even a Kadosh Baruch Hu tells a shtickle of the untruth. They may correct me, because initially it says, Va'adoni Zakein. Tara says, Avim is old. Ulu Basov sees, and the end it says, Va'ani Zakanti. Really, I am old. So, it veers the shtickle from what she said initially. But here, it says differently. It doesn't say mitzvah, it doesn't say mutter, it says, Abba Kadosh Baruch Hu. Even God. So therefore we see, Gadol HaShalom. Great Gadol HaShalom. So clearly they're building to something, and I want to articulate a little bit what this means. But I have to see a couple of other gemaras. First of all, what's the source of telling a lie? Right, if you have an uncle, Maishi, you should be able to tell me the source. What's the source for not telling a lie? It's Vashir Sirach Sirach Adirach. You can never tell a lie. Shteik Pasuk Parakim Tchav Yemush. Well, Lotas and Mishpat and Yom Kabrigo, Mizvar Shekach Sirach. You can't tell it. But, if you ever look in the Rishbam there, the Rishbam is the pastor. If you ever look through the Shulchan Aruch, I'm sure it could be that that doesn't apply to me and you. What? The Rishbam says, in Yerubaynefa, Din Merumeh, if you see some din being unjust, you can't contradict it. It's rachik meotzo din. Distance yourself from that din, y'all talking about problem. Never go to that din. If you see a corrupt face, then don't go there. Many of the questions say, even though Uncle Moshe says it applies to all cases, the Rishonim seems to say that that pasuk is only a din. In din. It's when the lawyers, litigations, etc. is happening, so it's really not fundamental to the real conversation that me and you are having. Okay, so now we got to search for another source. Maybe. But the Gemara Tzubis seems to say it's a regular case, at least according to one opinion. What's the famous Gemara Tzubis? Talk about a case of Rakim of Ve'akala. We all know how the case of Rakim of Ve'akala, the Ferish song in every Chatzar. Okay, so Rakim of Ve'akala, Kala Nova Chatzuda, Beishamay doesn't say. You know, Beishamay took classes, Beishamomim, Kala Kamoshim. You tell it like it is. Kala Kamoshim. You have to say she's a beautiful kala. Why? So they say to Beisil, let's say she's got a limp or she's blind. Should you really tell her she's a beautiful kala? What does the Torah say? It sounds like the Torah says Yidvar Shekhar Pirchus. Come on, Beisel, what's he going to respond? Everyone, Beisel, what is Shem? Is Yibrechem? Misha Rokos Met Nechram and Ashur. Let's say somebody buys a bad car. Are you going to go to him and say, ach, you idiot. You Yishab Chemel, Beinov, or Yishmena Beinov. You're going to say, praise the Lord in your eyes, you're disgusting in your eyes. How about you, Yishab Chemel Beinov? Mikanam Ruch Chachamim. Vila Chom say, Ma'olam Tei Daito Shal'odim Me'uravas Im Mabriyah. A person should always be sweet in the eyes of their friend. But you see that it says, according, at least it comes out, that I understand this Gemara, according to Beishamay, Midvar Shekhar Tirchas is a ding all the time. You have to only speak truth, which by the way is Beishamay, which he doesn't, because Beishamay is a very black and white person. Everything is always about din. He was the Avbezik. Beisil is not. He's looking to raise people up. We've talked to him in this world like Beisil. Midvar Shekhar Tirchas does not apply to this case. If somebody has an ugly bride, you don't say, you don't get all kind of, your couch, he's a real loser. You know, you don't do those things. Can you imagine if people, if we paskin like this, oh, it'd be scary. So, it sounds like we don't paskin that Midvar Shekhar Tirchas all the time. Similarly, there's another, but one more Gemara, and then we'll try to put this, there's two more Gemara. The Gemara Yivamah tells a story about Rav, where his wife was a real winner. Rav and his wife had real shalom bayis issues. Rav would ask for lentils, his wife would bring him something else. Like typically, they should bring chintz, something vinegar. She would ask for vinegar, she would bring lentils. So Rav, after a while, said, thought it was a kafala. His son then began relaying the message. So every time he asked for lentils, the son would switch it, and switch it over to vinegar. And then, what did he get? He got lentils. So Rav says, well, look at this. Says to his son, your mother, she's getting much better. Right? I used to ask the lentils to get something else. Right? The lentils, I get the lentils. So his son said, I'm the one who's switching it around. And I switch it around so you get what you want. Like, you know, I tell a lot of parents, you want your kid to do something, you tell them to do exactly the opposite. Because, like, you know, it's the nature of people to be rebellious. Anyway, so he says to him, don't ask Loi Kavod Hachi. Don't do that. Stop. Stop telling me untruth. Shenemar, quote the pasuk in Yirmiyah, Limdu Lashonim V'Vashaker Ha'ava. People who use their language to speak falsehoods, it's disgusting. So I don't say it. We just said Mutal Lashonim V'Vashaker Ha'Shalom. Call the last Shalom Mutal and you could change things. So why can't you speak, why can't he tell me? This is creating Shalom bias. Finally, the last Gemara above Masih, the last Gemara above Masih is what, you know, you should know because you learn it when you're in 5th grade or 6th grade, Eilu Masih. We know that we can trust the Talmud Chacham if he lies about 3 things. What are the 3 things that Talmud Chacham if he lies? What? How many Masechtas he learned? Apuria, what's going on in his bedroom, and what's the other one? Masechta, Apuria, and Ushpiza. You're not to guess he has. You don't want to say like, oh, and then his wife's going to be stuck cooking for all those people because they say, look how many guests I have. But you see that you're allowed in these 3 cases, otherwise you can't lie. So what? But if it's not from the Dvar Shekhe Tircha, what's the source? How come it sounds like it's very confusing to talk to you? So where is the source? What's the source for the inability to lie? And what are the exceptions? And what's going on in the Gemara? And how come there are no exceptions? We put a lot of things in the Shalom. Let's give it a good job. I heard from Rabbi Fran a delicious verse. I don't know where this Torah is. I don't remember who he quoted, but it was a tape I was driving somewhere and it resonated with me. Same as Gemara Shabbos, Kuf Lamed Aleph, that says we have an obligation to be like the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Alach to the Drachu, right? Havid Zek Heliva Anveil. Anveil? Havid Domelo, the Gemara says. Mahu Chanu Drachum, Afata Haya Chanu Drachum. So finish up the Gemara. The Gemara doesn't say this, but it makes sense. Just like we have to be Chanu Drachum, right? We have to follow the attributes of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So what's one of the attributes of the Kodesh Baruch Hu? What's the sign of a Kodesh, the seal of a Kodesh Baruch Hu? Is that of? Emes. So the lach is, we have to be Emes. Why do we have to speak the truth? Because Ma Hu Emes? Just like he tells the truth, Af Ata Emes. So too you have to speak the truth. You have an obligation to speak the truth. But not because it's an issue to tell the lie, but because you have to be godlike. Let's go back to that Gemara and Yevamos then. It fits in beautifully with the Gemara and Yevamos. It's so chewy. It's so delicious. The Gemara and Yevamos says, first it says Mutter. You see it's Mutter because of the conversation that happens. It's not because we have a role model. But the next thing says we say Mitzvah. Why do we say Mitzvah? Because there is a conversation where Kadosh Baruch Hu is telling Shmuel what to do. So Kadosh Baruch Hu is giving a Mitzvah. But the last part's the best part. Godol HaShalom. Shalom is greater than ever. If I say that's right, that we have conflicting values sometimes between societies. We have to figure out what's the ideal. Is freedom the best? Is partnership the best? Truth the best? Peace the best? Godol HaShalom. Peace is the most important quality. Shalom is the most important quality. It's a bigger value than emes. How do I know that? Because we have to be similar to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And what does the Kadosh Baruch Hu show us? Godol HaShalom. She'afa Kadosh Baruch Hu shinable, that even the Kadosh Baruch Hu himself changes. What's our mechayev? What's our obligation to speak the truth? It comes from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu speaks the truth. But if a Kadosh Baruch Hu has shown us that Shalom is greater, because when conflicting values happened, it was a wrestling match between Emes and Shalom. And a Kadosh Baruch Hu chose Shalom over Emes. That shows us that you have to be godlike. And just like God tells us that Shalom comes before Emes, so too we have to walk in that value. Basically, there's an expression that I remember Rabbi Fran saying it. He goes, basically, you don't have to be firmer than God. It's a great cup. That's what the Gemara is saying. Godol HaShalom. You have to be like God. And God, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, tells us that Shalom is greater than Emes. Therefore, we have to be people who are of Shalom. Either Gemara and Yevamos there, or they switch it around. Because who's the one switching? Who's the one telling the untruth? Who's the one who's telling the untruth? It's not the husband. The husband's in it. The son. The son's not involved in the Shalom. He's trying to promote Shalom between other people. It's not his place. God wants Shalom. We're talking about being a husband and wife. And you have to be godly. He's not doing this that reason. He's doing it to make his father happy. Which is a different value, but it's not the value of Shalom. So this is where the value of Shalom comes up. So I once heard a shiur over the summer, not once, that a beautiful shiur over the summer. One of my big summer in Hagen. Whenever I drive anywhere, I always take Rabbi Reisman with me. Reisman, he's very easy to listen to in the car. He's a big tzaddik. He's a big Talmud of Palm, and all the stories are beautifully sweet. So this past summer, I was listening to his shiurim on Shimshon HaNavi. Now, Shimshon has a very, very interesting marriage. He's married to Delilah. You know, he's married to three women. Delilah is the third of the women. And what do we learn from the story of Shimshon HaNavi? It says the Rabbag has a sefer on what are the mussar points that come out. What are the mussar points that come out of the Navi? So one of them, so he says, I think it was the 17th, this one was, I wrote down earlier so I could remember, what was the point that he was making? It was, I texted it to myself, so it was the 17th lesson on Shimshon that Rabbag said. The 17th lesson says that you're not supposed to share with your wife everything. See, Mutter L'shanach Mitnei Shalom doesn't say Mutter L'shaker Mitnei Shalom. You can't lie. That was going, Mutter L'shanach. You don't have to tell the whole truth. Mutter L'shanach. Yeah, Chazal Baruch Hu didn't feel it was necessary to say the whole story. What do you have to say the whole story for? Sometimes you don't have to say everything. There's many times. Shimshon, he told Delilah, oh yeah, you want me to lose my power? This is what you do. What are you doing? Who says you got, just because she asked doesn't mean you have to give that answer. Mutter L'shanach Mitnei Shalom. That's what the Rabbag said. Rabbi Reisman gives a very pointed shiur. Four different times. You're not supposed to say anything. The first thing is you have to say, before we get into this, in America they have this whole distorted concept of marriage where you're supposed to have an open marriage and everything is supposed to be shared. Every time you don't like something you're supposed to share it and you're supposed to speak your mind and have an open marriage. That's not the Jewish concept of marriage. But in Baruch Hu tells us this. But Baruch Hu says, this is marriage, and I don't have to tell you, I don't have to reveal to Avram that so has said that you're an old guy. Well, I don't want to make Avram feel bad. So my rising gives four different examples as to when you're supposed to, when does this halach of Shinoi apply? Number one, if you cause some pain, there's no mitzvah that you have to cause your spouse pain because you know a piece of information. And he brings a raya from this expression. Not from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but one of the most interesting stories that's a backstory in the entire Tanakh, right, is that Avram Zakeda Shittim. But he doesn't tell his wife. You ever wonder that? Like, why doesn't Avram, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't tell Sarah, that's one reason, that's a whole shiur of itself. But why doesn't Avram tell Sarah what's going on? You ever think, like, Sarah, I'm going to Shech Yitzchak, I'll be back in 3 days. Don't forget to heat up the chones when I come home. But instead, Avram doesn't tell Sarah. Why not? Because he understood. He understood that all that was going to do at that point was cause Sarah pain. So why do that? Another big mistake people make. So you have Reuben and Sarah, they're engaged, beautiful. And Reuben's parents are thrilled with Sarah. But they go over to Reuben and they say, you know, Reuben, you should just know your wife's great, we love her, the Kala. But, and they start telling Reuben some of her pitfalls. So that's what Reuven's well prepared for marriage. What are you, an idiot? There's no mitzvah to point out somebody's fault. This is what you are. But you don't have to say it because you know it. There's no mitzvah. Most of the Shana's in their shows. Similarly, we saw the Gemara in Tzuvah. Case of the Rashi and Lefnei Akala. What did the Gemara say? Shama had a good point. You'd buy Shekin Shirfa. He had a very good point. Stay away from mine. Okay, so you could say like the Rishbam and say that's Din. But more than that, if somebody does something, what are you going to make them feel bad for? There's no mitzvah to make somebody feel bad. You know, it's like, it just happens all the time. I did this last week to somebody and I was like kicking myself afterwards. You know, when somebody like makes a mistake and you're like, oh, you know that? You know, you have that people do that to you? You say, you use a credit card for that? You could have bought it for free, you know? What are you making them feel bad? If there's a parallel to the future, that was something to talk about. But there's no mitzvah ever. What does Shana's Mitnei Shalom mean? Don't make the other person feel bad. That's all. The second one. And this is a tricky one. Because, you know, you have to be honest with it. Let's say in work, you're not getting respect. Right? Let's say you're messing up in certain areas of your life? Should you tell your wife? That's a very good question. Should each spouse tell each other? If there's a Torah you're going to grow together from it, of course you should. If it's going to make one party look at the other party and look down on them or their eyes and holds, that's not something that should be shared. Because all it's going to do is make the other party look at you. If there's a Torah, if there's some purpose in it, then you can talk it out. You can develop it. You can grow from it. But if it's just down that you, there's an issue speaking Lashon Hara about yourself also. You're not supposed to be doing that. So whenever there's an idea of knocking your own dignity, first of all, your wife will figure it out anyway. You don't have to say it. But there's no mitzvah for you to be the one knocking yourself. The third area is so important, and that is just stam, the issur of Lashon Hara. That, for example, you're going to go to work, and at work there's going to be machlokas between people, between you and somebody else. You could share the story, but there's no mitzvah ever to talk about who the party is. Because what could happen, especially amongst guys, right? Guys, they get into an argument, a week later they're playing basketball together. They get over it, right? But you're going to go home, you're going to share this story. And now all of a sudden, it's a real machlokas. And now, your spouse is all of a sudden going to harbor resentment towards that other party. It's not getting you anywhere. Rav Reisen told an amazing story about Rav Palm. Rav Palm's one of my heroes, maybe because he's Rav Reisen's hero, and Rav Reisen's my hero, so he's kind of my hero through my hero, right? But like, it was just the sweetness. When I hear the voice of Rav Reisen, I just think of sweetness, and I think of his Rebbe, you know, I think of Rav Palm. And he's the ultimate sweet person. So at the Torah Das, apparently, I don't even know the parties are good, because Rav Reisen didn't say, like you're not supposed to say. There was a big machlokas. As when somebody moved on, who was going to become the Rosh Hashiva? And there were two big, like any yeshiva, right? So of course, at least the machlokas, was the machlokas of Shem Shemayim, who's going to become the Rosh Hashiva? And it was hot back and forth. And then it was time for the dinner. And there were two parties, so who's going to sit in the middle of the women? Rebbetzin Palm. Right? Because Rebbetzin Palm, not that she was Isha Shalom, she probably was, but she didn't even know there was machlokas because her husband never came home and told her. So they put it, you know, she goes to dinner and she says, isn't part of the past a great yeshiva that everybody gets along? So everybody's looking at her like, what, are you crazy? Because she had no idea. Dinner, she has other ones going on. But, you know, so this is, that's number three. So number one, never ever say that caused another pain. Number two, you should be knocking yourself. Number three, never ever bring up areas of machlokas. And number four is the following. It'd be very, very careful. And Rabbi Arush talks about this a lot. If something is bothering you about the other party, it's not really in your best interest to talk about it. Gottman has in his book, I think, that he has like there are 40% of arguments, they last forever. To keep rehashing old arguments just brings you down. You have to find, you should go out of your way to find things they have in common, but don't always look for disagreements. And to point out things that are bothersome, that's totally connected to Shalom Bayis. When you say in Eishes Chayil, we say, Botech Valev Bala, that means you have confidence in your spouse. And you have to have confidence in your spouse. So, you don't, just because something annoys you, A, doesn't mean it's wrong. It could be you're wrong because you're getting annoyed by something that the other party does, but maybe you're wrong for not, you know, understanding it properly. But to bring it up all the time, or to bring it up even, you know, once in a while, you have to be very, very careful to bring that up. Mutter l'shadot mitnei shalom doesn't mean you have to say you like what you don't like, but you don't have to point out that you don't like it. There's a very big difference between the two. You don't have to point that out. I don't like this about you. Rabbi Reisen tells an amazing story that some Kala came home after the Shana Rishona, and she said to her husband, you know, I got from, I think my college teacher asked in the first year of marriage, we should write five things we like about each other, five things we don't like about each other. And then we should exchange it. So they write five things they like about each other, that goes well, and then they write five things they don't like about each other. And he opened his, and she wrote, you know, you don't clean up after yourself. No, I'm sure there are, but I'm guilty. You don't do this, you don't do that, you don't take out the garbage on Tuesdays. you don't say hello to me in the morning, whatever they want. Good. And then he wrote to her, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. And sure, he's finished. And that was the end. Right? Because is there any tolerance in pointing out somebody's foibles? Yeah, we all have foibles. Like, you have to be very careful, even with anybody, forget your own spouse, but with anybody in this world, just to sit and point out what you don't like about them, is there really any benefit in that particular situation? So most people shout out to Shalom, you could change, not change the truth, but you could change things for the purpose of Shalom. Shalom is the greatest thing. You know, telling the truth doesn't mean you have to tell the truth. You always have to, even if you hold them, stay far away from lies. But it doesn't mean you have to tell the truth all the time. You just don't say anything. Sometimes saying nothing is far better than anything else. So Mutter L'Shadat Mitnei HaShalom is this idea that you could change things around. But, and you got to be very, very careful. We learn, as the Gemara Gizama says, the greatest peacemaker of all time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the firmest person of all time, Gadol HaShalom. Shalom is great, because Af HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mishana Mitnei HaShalom. Even HaKadosh Baruch Hu changes things. I called with the therapist today, he says, you better be careful when you say things like this. I would never say anything on my own. Because he says, it's healthy, you can't lie, you can never lie. But you don't have to, but what I think this all saying is you have to try to be as godly as possible, and you always have to speak the truth. But you don't have to say the whole truth. Because if it's going to be insulting, if it's going to cause some pain, if you're going to wind up hurting your marriage because of it, that's something you stay away. So, the bracha should always be able to tell the truth and be able to maintain. There should never be a conflict between the emes and shalom. But when you say kesem rasim with me akala, it should always be kala no v'chasuda, and that should be the emes and the shalom.